I hope today that I can spark a little enthusiasm of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me 40 years ago. It'll be 40 years this coming April, 2004. If God allows me to live, it'll be 40 years since I came to know Him personally. Now, I want to tell you this morning, I don't have any notes. I rely on the Holy Spirit. Just what God's put in my heart is what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. I will use a couple verses of Scripture, and I'll tell you that I'm just asking God's Holy Spirit to guide, direct, lead us today. I pray that He'll touch hearts here today like I've never been touched before. So before we start, I want to commit this time to the Lord Jesus. I don't want any glory. I don't want any honor. I don't want any praise. I want it all to go to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow with me in prayer. Father, as I come before Thy throne this morning, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Father, I thank You for what You did for me. I thank You for what You're going to do for people in this auditorium this morning, because with all my heart I've prayed, and I believe there's people here today that need to make commitments to Jesus. And so today, Father, I entrust Your Holy Spirit to just guide me and lead me. Give me the words to say that will honor You and bring glory and praise to Your holy name. And I'll give You the praise, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife asked me if I needed a handkerchief or Kleenex before I started, and I said, no, I didn't. But those of you that know me, you know that I do that once in a while. I do have a tender heart as far as emotions, and I do shed a tear every now and then, but that's okay. They're good tears. They're Jesus tears. This is tough. I didn't think the auditorium would be full this morning. I thought it would be about empty because the guys had already heard it, so I figured they were going to do all ministry or go play today and say, I've already heard that, so they wouldn't be here. But I'm glad for you being here because your brides are going to hear it today, okay? What I'm going to do today is not unique. Every person, I'd like to show up for a show of hands, but I'm not going to do it. But I'd like to know every person in this auditorium that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that has had a relation with Him one day when they invited Him into their life. For those that have done that, every one of you have a testimony. Now, a testimony is only telling what somebody did for you or what's in your life. Now, my testimony is probably going to, and I'm not really proud of it because there are a lot of things in my life that are not good. And so I'm not proud of that, but I'm proud of one thing, that I came to a day that I invited Jesus into my life and He changed my life. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 40 years ago, that absolutely happened to me. So today, I don't care if your grandmother at age 5 had you to get down beside the bed and kneel and ask Jesus into your heart. That is a testimony. I don't care if it was a Sunday school teacher at 9 years old that asked you, have you ever asked Jesus or invited Him into your heart, and you did. I don't care if it was an Awana club that you came to know Jesus. I don't care if it was at a Billy Graham crusade. I don't care where it was, but I want to tell you, that's your testimony. I wish today that I could take a piece of paper and a pencil and give it to every one of you and say, now write out your testimony. That's the easiest way. It is the easiest way to tell people about Jesus. Because all I have to say is, let me tell you what happened to me. And from there, I can tell them the experience that happened in my life. And I don't care if it's a 5-year-old child that came to know Jesus. That's an experience. And that, as Pastor Dean has told us many times, that's a whole life for Jesus. I didn't have a whole life for Jesus, because I was older when I came to know the Lord. I was born in Rochester, New York. I'm really not a Yankee. my folks moved from there when I was 6 months old, and we went to Western Pennsylvania. I lived there until I was 6 years old. That's when Second World War came around. My dad was too old to serve in the military, but he volunteered to go to the defense plant in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and there he built tanks at the Baldwin Locomotive in Philadelphia. And that's where I was raised until I was a senior in high school. And from there, I moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I lived in Fort Lauderdale when it was beautiful, when it was a paradise, when there was no tourist in the summer. We had the whole beach to ourselves. The streets weren't crowded like they are now. It was absolutely gorgeous. That was in 1953 that I moved to Fort Lauderdale. I was a senior in high school. I had wonderful parents, good parents, but my parents were not godly parents. My parents were not one that sat down and read the Bible at night. They didn't pray. They went to church occasionally, but there was not a spiritual emphasis placed in my home. That was not a priority in my home. My mom and dad were good folks, and I honor them today for what they did for me in raising me. But I didn't have a spiritual raising. But that's okay. God had a plan for my life, and He has a plan for every person that's in this room today. When you're conceived in your mother's womb, God has a plan for you. I want to tell you. That's why abortion is out the window, because God has a plan for that baby that's impregnated. And I want to tell you that God had a plan for my life, and He has a plan for every person in this room. I don't know what your plan is today, but I know one that's here that can help you with your plan, and that's called the Holy Spirit. And so, when I was a senior in high school, my dad was not a drinker, but my mother would occasionally have drinks in the house, had alcohol in the home. My folks never told me I couldn't have any drinks of that alcohol. So when I was 18 years old, if I came home at night from a date or from work or wherever, and I went into the refrigerator and there was a beer in the refrigerator and I wanted some of that beer, I took that beer. I didn't have any problem with that. My mother didn't scold me for it. Now, I didn't drink everything that was there, but if I wanted one, I had it. And folks, I want to tell you that you high schoolers, stay away from it. I'm telling you this morning, stay away from it. Because I developed a habit for it. I liked it. Folks, I liked the taste of it. I really did. And so I was able to buy it. I was able to buy it on the marketplace, like a lot of teenagers in Georgia are able to buy it in the marketplace. And we ought to put those folks that sell it to teenagers out of business. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 You ought to get serious about that, folks. But anyhow, I did that. And I partook of that pretty readily. I turned 21, and I met a sweet thing. Blind date. And in July of 27th of 1957, I walked down the aisle with this young lady. Now listen, a lot of you go to the pastors when you're being counseled for marriage. And you give him the answers he wants to hear, and so he marries you. Especially in an evangelical church where they want both parties to be equally yoked or they don't want to marry him. Well, I met with that pastor in an evangelical church. And I snowed that guy. And I walked down the aisle to take my bride that day, I guess with him believing and those believing that I knew Jesus as my Savior. But I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. But I met and married a beautiful girl. Many of you know my wife. But that afternoon after the wedding, we had set up all you could drink outside on a lawn, and we had the reception. My friends were drinkers. My friends were ones that I went to the bar with whenever we went. I raced cars, Hollywood Speedway in Florida, and Miami, the Medley Speedway, and the Hialeah Speedway. You wouldn't think this old guy did, but I did that. And that was part of my life. At that time, it was a lot of my life. I raced three nights a week. And on the way home, we stopped and drank. Some nights, I don't know how I got home with the race car. I was married in July. And in April of that next year, Uncle Sam called me. That was the days when we had the draft. And he called me and said, I'd like for you to serve 2 years with us. And so I went in the military. In April, I was inducted in. And in September, I sailed for Korea. And I spent 13 months in Korea. The whole time that I was there, folks, every night that I could, I was out with the boys and I drank. I went to R&R while you're in Korea. In 13 months, they allow you 7 days for R&R. I went to Japan. Now, most of you, if you went to Japan, you'd have the finest camera that you could buy. You would do whatever travel you could possibly do to enjoy that scenery, because you probably would never, ever get back there again. Most people wouldn't. I went to Japan, and for 7 days, I sat in the NCO club and drank for 7 days and didn't see much of Japan. I saw Mount Fuji out the window, and that's about all I saw of Japan. I'm not proud of that, but I want to tell you what my life was like. I came back from Korea in 1960, and my wife and I were bought our first home. My dad and I had a paint and body shop, and we had had that prior to my going to Korea. We had opened a paint and body shop, and I came back, and I was in that paint and body shop with my dad. Every day at 4 o'clock, we went and got the beer, and the guys would come, policemen and all the guys that we palled around with, and that would come, and we'd have our happy hour at 4 o'clock every day in that body shop. Folks, I got to the point where I went at 8 o'clock in the morning on the way to work to get a drink because I felt bad from the day before. And so I went, and there was a little bar on my way home called the A&E Bar. My wife, Mary, by that time I'd had 2 children, Lisa and Bill. My wife would have dinner ready at 6 or 7 o'clock for me, and my stop would be that little truck that I had, a 40 Ford, would drive down the road, and it had automatic because it just turned in to the A&E Bar. And I would spend my evenings there and come home maybe 10 or 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock when they closed it, and my wife's waiting at home. Why Mary stayed with me, I'll never know. Except God knew what the future was. But I want to tell you, I treated her like dirt. I stepped on her and walked on her. But those of you who know Mary, you know what kind of girl she is. It's hard for me to tell you this because I'm not proud of it. I had some neighbors that lived next door to us. We partied together, the guy and I. Mary never was much in that group because Mary wasn't one to do that. These folks moved out and some other folks moved in. He was a Borden's milk truck driver. The guy got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, with his Borden's truck and delivered milk to the wholesale. And he'd get home at in the afternoon, he'd go to bed because he was getting up at 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning. And so I got to talking to this fellow, and he'd talk with me. But I noticed one other thing, that on Wednesdays, this was in 1960, so there was not a lot of air conditioning in Florida at that time. It's not like today, everything's air conditioned, but the houses did not have air conditioning in them. And they had a what they call a Florida room, which is like on the back of the house and the windows open and you get a lot of air through it. So it acts like, if there's a breeze, acts like air conditioning. And so on Wednesday nights, I would see this group of people coming in and they'd be in this Florida room. And I'd hear them over there singing. And I said to Mary one night, I guess I got home early. And I said to Mary, I said, boy, there are a bunch of kooks that live next door. What are these folks? Folks, I didn't know what was going on over there. And so this guy, he tried to talk to me, and I put him off to the side. I said, nah, I don't want it. And I argued with him a little bit about religion, because, you know, when you don't know anything about religion, you argue about it because you don't know anything about it. It's like politics. And so argued a little bit with him, and he didn't know a lot to talk to me about. And so he said, you know, Bill, down there in the field where the cows are, which was probably a mile from our house, a mile and a half, the lady that's from Fort Lauderdale will know where I'm talking about because this is Margate, Florida. He said, we're building a church out there, a little church. I said, you are? Out with those cows? And he said, yeah. I said, I'll tell you what. When you get that church finished, I said, come on, I'll go, you know. And that's the last I heard of the guy. I thought, well, I got him off my back. No problems there. So I noticed when I went in the next morning, sure enough, they had started the ground breaking out there, and there's cows all around that place. I mean, I literally just walk around. There's no fence around where they're building or anything. So time goes on. One Saturday night, I get, and I went to the door. I might have been half in the bag. I'm not sure. For those of you who don't know what that means half drunk. But anyhow, I went to the door, and it was Charlie. And Charlie said, "Bill, we've got that church ready. We're having church in the morning." I said, "I'll be there." Now, I mean, that was tough to take. But I'll tell you what, Mary, and I said to Mary, I said, "Well, get the kids up, and we'll get ready. We'll go tomorrow." Well, Bill was sick, so we couldn't go. They couldn't go. But I, man of my words, I took Lisa and myself, and we went. And nice folks, man. I heard message, but it was like almost like Sunday school because they didn't have their auditorium finished. And so I went on home, and the next week, they didn't have to ask me. We went back. I took Mary, and all four of us went. And so I got into church. And folks, I want to tell you something. Listen to me real good now. God's Holy Spirit is in this church today. I want to tell you that right now. I know that. Because he said where two or more are gathered together, he said, "I'm in the midst." He's right here. And I want to tell you, those of you that know me, I call it a still small voice. Some people would say maybe I'm Pentecostal, but that's all right. You can call me whatever you want, but I got Jesus. But I want to tell you what happened was I got in that church and that still small voice started getting a hold of me, just like you'll do here today. If you don't know Jesus or you're not in fellowship, you're going to be troubled today. God's going to knock on your heart and he's going to ask you to do something today. He's going to ask you to invite him into your life. And if you're not living where he answers prayer today because you got out of fellowship, he's going to say, "How about making a new commitment?" But anyhow, I sat there that day, folks, and I heard with the reality that there was literally a place called hell. And the pastor talked about that. It was a place of torment, a place that you would be separated from God forever and ever. And it was a place that you would have no rest. And it was a terrible description that he gave. And I want to tell you that I was convicted. Oh, was I convicted. But unlike a brethren church that it was, they usually only give one invitation hymn and you respond or forget it and close the service and let's go home. But this day they acted like Baptists. I mean, they played one hymn and I didn't move. They played another hymn and I didn't move. They played a third hymn. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't respond. But I did go out the door. And as I went out, I had tears because I was convicted, but I didn't accept Jesus. Well, God's grace prevails. The next week, I went back. Now, here's a guy. I just told you what my past was like, and I didn't tell you many details. And you guys that were in the group, you know I didn't tell all the details, and I didn't want to because all the ladies and kids in here. But anyhow, I went back, and I was right down here where this young man's sitting right in that seat right there. And I heard the message that day, and the guy talked about, I don't know, heaven and hell and all the different things. But it ended up that he wanted a commitment. He said, "Today I'm going to offer you a person called Jesus Christ who will come into your life, and you'll live in heaven forever, and he'll change your life." Now, remember the prior week, there were three hymns given, and I didn't respond. But I want to tell you that day, the hymn was "Softly and Tenderly." And that old boy said, "Sss." And when he said, "Sss," I was there. I was there. Well, I want to tell you, that revolutionized my life. I went from night to day. I'm going to ask somebody to do something that she never does. But Mary, did I change? Amen. I became a husband that loved her. I became a husband that wanted her to have first place. And I want to tell you, folks, that day I committed my life to Jesus Christ. He changed it. And for 40 years, I've walked with him. I've been unfaithful like every one of you. And every one of us sin. And I have to come back to him and ask him to cleanse me and put me back on the track. But I want to tell you, for 40 years, I've served him. And I want to tell you with all assuredness that I stand here, and God being my judge, is that he'll never fail you. And he'll do every promise that he promised you in that book. There is no doubt about it. Well, good things happened from there. There was a man in the church who was the assistant store manager for Sears and Roebuck in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He loved the Lord. He would take his people on break and take them down to the... This was when you could do this. You can't do this today, I guess. But he would take his people that were under him and take them down into the cafeteria or the break room and have lunch or coffee with them and witness to them and tell them about Christ. Well, this guy was... He was about Tim Detman's size. That's just really about... You give me a lot of his characteristics, Tim. And he got me and he said, listen, I want to meet you in the back of the church. This is the day that I was saved. He said, I want to meet you in the back of the church. I said, yes, sir. Now, normally I'd have said, who are you? But I said, yes, sir. So we got back in the corner of the church. And he says, here's two scripture verses. I want them memorized, and I want to have them memorized by next Sunday. So I said, okay. And so I memorized those two verses of scripture. He said, here's two more. And I memorized two more. Two more. And he said to me, he said, I've done something for you. And I said, what's that? He said, I've enrolled you in the Navigator's course. Scripture memorization. Here's one of my books, folks. This is 40 years old. This says, Going On With Christ. Every one of those little verses. As I would go to work, I would take these verses and I'd memorize those verses. This one here had eight verses. I memorized eight verses in a week. It's not hard. If you trust in Christ and put your mind to it, you can do it. I don't care if you're old, you can still do it, Pastor Dean. You're trying. I know you've been trying. Here's one. That piece of paper is 40 years old, and it's got verses of Scripture that I wrote down in those verses, and that's how I memorized them. I noted for you that this was the budget in 1964 in this church, and their budget per month was $684. I wasn't real good in school. Got a lot of D's and F's. So you kids that are failing, say that old man that was up there the other day, he said about his failing. But I want to tell you something. When I found Jesus, you know what happened? What did I get on my paper, son? What did it say up there I got? What's in the red? What's that say? That word right there, what's it say? What's it say, Pastor?
Excellent.
That was because of what Jesus did for me. Well, let me tell you, I memorized those verses of Scripture. There are a lot of verses of Scripture that mean a lot to me. But there's one, and then the one that I'm going to end with today will is special. But the verse of Scripture that probably got me through more trouble and helped me in my life was, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now listen to me, every one of you that are in this room, you are tempted by the devil day in and day out. But I want to tell you that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now if you trust in God, he'll give you that escape. And when you don't, you fall into sin because you fall to that temptation. Now, God will forgive you, but I want to tell you that when you do, and this has happened to me, when you do, you look back and you'll absolutely see where God gave you that escape. He absolutely will. And I have seen it, and I blew it, and I said, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. I saw where you let me get it out. And I want to tell you, when you're tempted to, the Bible says you ought to flee, you ought to run. It says don't walk, run, get out of that situation. But I want to tell you something, folks, to God's glory. By His grace and mercy, 40 years ago, I loved alcohol. I really did. I didn't do it because I was smart or it was a big thing to do, but I liked the taste of it. I really did. But I'll tell you, when God saved me, you know what He did? He reached into my mouth and took out the taste bud for alcohol. I've never had a desire in 40 years for another drink. I didn't have to go to AA. I'm not down in AA. Anybody that's in it, I'm not down in that program. By the grace of God, I did not have to go to AA. And so, consequently, those of you that are sitting here today that never drink, let me give you a comparison. Someday you like a Snickers bar, and you haven't had one in a long time, especially if you've been on a diet. But other than that, you just get hungry for a piece of chocolate or a desire for something sweet. That's exactly the way I was for a drink. But I want to tell you that God doesn't have to take those taste buds out for the sweet, but He took the taste bud out for alcohol. I have been in my business world where it flowed like water. I've been where I could have all I wanted. I've been where there was no charge. I mean, just whatever I wanted. And I'll tell you what happened. I was in the business world, and in those business worlds, they always have a cocktail hour before they have dinner. Well, I would go and I'd have orange juice or I'd have a Coke or I'd have tomato juice or something like that. And here all these guys and girls, ladies, walking around with a drink in their hand. And finally, you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, "You're not any different than them. How do they know what you have in that glass?" And you know what I did, folks? I went to cocktail hour without anything in my hand, without a drink. I could wait till dinner and have a nice tea. And so God laid on my heart, "You can't be my representative with that in your hand, whether they know that that's a Bloody Mary, a scotch and soda, or what it is. Be a man and don't have anything in your hand." And that's exactly what I did, to His glory and His honor. And listen, I was able to witness to more men about my not drinking than my drinking. I told the men that I won't repeat and hear a story of what happened to me one time in a management thing. And I was called a name because I didn't drink. That's how bad the world is out there, folks. You young people, I'm telling you with all my heart, listen to this old man. Listen to your granddaddy up here today. Listen to me. Don't get sucked in by the crowd you run with. If you got bad influence, get away from that bad influence. I had bad influences around me, and I was a bad influence. And I sucked some guys into my crowd that maybe they're having a problem with it today. So if you're in that mode, young people, get out of it. Flee it. I'm telling you with all my heart. I had a thank you note I was going to bring today. Mary and I did the junior church when they had first through third graders in junior church. I even had the Paradise Girls. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But I had a little fella by the name of Roman Gast. Roman was the sweetest little boy. And I remember one day in junior church, Roman said, "I want to ask Jesus into my heart." His little lips just quivered. And that day I heard him say, "Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to come into my life." He did. I brought him down to church. We were meeting upstairs. I brought him down to church. And I walked him down the aisle with Brother Dean. Brother Dean was here and met him. That day he gave his heart to Jesus. Every year or so he calls me and says, "I'd like to come and play golf with you." He lives in Texas. Just 4 weeks ago he came and played golf with me. And I got the nicest note back. Says, "Thanks for what you did. And I love the example that you and Mary are. Your brother in Jesus." Now, folks, that's what it's all about. See, his testimony is, "One day Mr. and Mrs. Kellerman had us up in junior church and I asked Jesus into my life." Now, I know it's long, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me today and I'm going to end. I want you to take your Bibles, those of you that have your Bibles. I want you to get them out. I want you to turn to the book of 1 John. Now, how many in here underline their Bible? How many in here don't underline their Bible? Because you think it's not nice to underline it. All right, I'm going to tell you something today. I want every person in this auditorium that has a Bible today to underline what we're going to talk about today. I want you to turn to the first book of 1 John, and I want you to turn to the fifth chapter. This is probably my life verse. This is the key verse. This is the verse that I use when I witness to a lot of people or talk to people about Jesus. Now, I want every ear opened. I want every eye looking at me. I want the utmost attention. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to speak right now while I read the Word. This is an important time. Folks, let's get serious. This is the time that you can meet with God right now. I'm going to read His Word. And His Word says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to be saved by faith in the Word of God and not by anything of my testimony. Do you understand that? Absolutely, only God can do it. I can tell you what He did for me. I can praise Him for what He did for me. I can tell you all what He did for me. But without the Word of God, it is of no value, and that's not what's going to save you. It's what the Word of God is going to save you. Now listen to me as I read this scripture. Remember my testimony. This is my testimony that I've been telling you about, and every one of you have that testimony to have Jesus in your heart. We accept man's testimony. I hope you accept my testimony this morning. But God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. Now listen to me. This is God's testimony. Not mine. What I'm going to tell you now is God's testimony, which He has given about His Son. Listen, anyone who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in his heart. Listen. If you believe in the Son of God, where did it say your testimony is? In your heart. In your heart. So everybody that knows Jesus this morning has that message in his heart. All right. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. All right, folks. I'm going to get serious with you this morning. You either are or you're not. There's no middle road here this morning. We're not going to sit on the fence here this morning. Dan maybe doesn't do this. He's not hard on you, but I'm going to be hard on you this morning because I believe God wants me to be hard. He says, you're either on my team or not. He said, if you're on my team, I'm in your heart. And if you're not on my team, you're calling me a liar is what you're doing. And I'll tell you, folks, I wouldn't want to sit in this auditorium and call God a liar. I really wouldn't. I really wouldn't. You see, God gave me mercy the first week that I didn't accept Christ. If I would have gone out that week and had an accident, or God would have given me a heart attack or whatever, I would have perished in hell forever and ever. But by His grace, He gave me another week. But I want to tell you, I can't assure you of that this morning. I can only tell you what I am telling you to make that decision this morning for Jesus. Let's go on. Because he has not believed, this is why you're calling him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. Now here's his testimony. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who hath the Son hath life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Folks, can I make it any clearer than he has or he has not? You either have it this morning or you don't have it. Would anybody argue that with me? If you are, you're going to argue against the Word of God. But here's the most blessed thing. Listen to this next verse. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now I want to tell you something. I've got eternal life this morning. I'm bragging about eternal life. You ask me sometimes, why do you say glory and hallelujah? Why do you get excited about it? Well, some of you people went to the Georgia game and the guy runs down the field and he scores a touchdown and you just go bonkers and you come in the next morning and you can't talk. And you go somewhere else and you get so excited. You go to a concert and some guy gets up there and you get so excited, you know? Well, listen, I'll tell you what I get excited about, just what I say when I say glory and hallelujah, because I'm excited about what Jesus is doing. And you ought to get excited about that. You ought to say amen once in a while. When the preacher says something good that is exciting and it's true, you ought to say amen. You know what you'd do? You'd fire Dan up. You haven't fired me up because I don't need it. Not one of you has hardly said amen this morning. But that's what we need. That's what we need. You ought to get excited about your faith in Christ. We serve a living Savior who's alive today and said, the only reason I left you here is to tell other people my testimony. Amen? Where are you today? Where are you? Do you know him or do you know him not? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask you to come forward. He said, those of you that will tell people and show people about me, I'll tell my Father about them in heaven. If you're not willing to do that today, I don't know that you're really wanting to receive Christ as your Savior. Some of you have been going through times that you've gone over to the enemy's camp and you accepted Christ 3 months ago or a year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, but you're not living like it now. You know what he says? He says, make a new commitment. Come back to me. Let's get it right. Let's forgive and get started and get right back on the path again. Are you willing to do that today? Maybe God's calling you to the mission field. Maybe he wants you to do something full time for him. And he said, today is the day to step out. Make that commitment. You know how we pray for missionaries? Because when I see you step out and say, I want to go to the mission field, then I can get behind you and start praying for it. But if you sit in that pew and don't do anything about it, I don't know. And let me tell you, if you make a decision for Jesus today, we're going to disciple you. Just like a mother takes a baby and raises that baby up to where they talk and walk and can be fed, we're going to do the same for you, and that's what you need. I'm tough this morning, I know it, but you need it. You really do. Are we ready for the invitation? You got it? Let's do it. Here's the choice. Either it's Jesus or no. Here's the choice. I've drifted off and I want to come back. Your choice. I want to go to the mission field. I want to be full-time service. Here's your choice. There's no ifs, ifs, or buts. There's no middle road today. It's either yes or no. Amen? I believe with all my heart. I've prayed, and people have prayed about this morning. And I've prayed and asked God. I said, God, would you bring people that need Jesus? Would you bring people that need to make a new commitment? And I believe there are people here today that need a new commitment. I believe there's people today that need Jesus in this room. Please don't harden your heart. Every time you say no is closer to that still small voice not penetrating your heart. That's what you need this morning. Let's do it for Jesus. Amen? Yeah.